Hi, and welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and I'm super passionate about moving and thinking. On this show, we are going to dive into all things health, fitness, personal development, lifestyle, and political, sociocultural. I've always been fascinated by people, and I love learning from the experiences and stories of others. This has been a treat for me, and I hope this is enjoyable and useful for you. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or any way that I can make this a better experience for you, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Hello, welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I am here today with Dr. Jane Ruby, who just gave a really fantastic speech. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you, Courtney. It's great to be with you.
Likewise.
Yeah.
So you, I want to start off with, you know, your whole slogan is that it is not a vaccine.
No.
Yeah. And that people really need to stop saying that. So can you tell us a little bit about why it's not a vaccine and what people should be saying and why it's so important that they stop using that verbiage?
Yeah, language is very important. So it's very powerful and it conjures up images in people's minds. So I used the analogy on stage of if you went into a bank and you had a gun in your hand and you demanded money from the teller and the teller gave you the money, you most people would agree that you have just committed armed bank robbery. But if somebody else looks at the situation and just calls it something different and says, you know, hey, he just took some money out of the bank and that was it and everything's fine, you're going to get treated differently. The situation's going to be perceived differently. Likewise, vaccines confer the notion in your head of something protective for the future. And these are not that at all. In fact, they make you sicker and sicker and sicker, and they will degrade your immune system. These are not vaccines. They were called that. They've never gone through vaccine-type trials. They haven't finished their trials. They were rushed to market without going through the proper procedures. The FDA violated their own rules, regulations, policies. And so to call them vaccine actually advances the cover, the protection of these companies from, it protects them from any legal liability. If they were what they, if they're called what they should be, what they are, which is gene-changing therapy, they would have had to have gone through a much different process. It would have taken longer, and the safety would have been a lot more established. So this has been a wild ride. These pharma companies have been running the tables, and it's just really, it's dangerous. So it's important for you to call it what it is. If you call it a bioweapon shot, you may make other people think, you know, differently. They may say, well, you're a nut. But they will also walk away and think, why did she call it a bioweapon? Oh, really look at what that is. But if you continue to use the word vaccine, they will feel comfortable like, well, listen, I want a vaccine. I want protection. And that's where people get, you know, confused and gnarled up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hear it all the time. Whenever I say it's a bioweapon, you know, people say they call me crazy. Really, why? What evidence is there that this is a bioweapon?
Yeah, for sure.
You were also talking about CRISPR and how there's evidence and it goes back several years. So what do you think the possible implications of that will be?
I think it's very dangerous. And just so that people know, CRISPR is like an acronym for a long phrase that really essentially involves, you know, targeting a gene, a particular genetic sequence, cutting out a piece of it and then replacing it with something synthetic or chimeric that was, you know, that's in the payload of these injections. And they tell you it's because they want to get you to your body to make the spike protein so that then your body will make antibodies against it. But that's not what happens. The body's overwhelmed by the spike proteins because it's not a natural spike. And so CRISPR is really the technology or the name for it that replaces. It's the gene changing piece that we don't talk about very often because they don't want you to talk about it. They want you to talk about it like it's a vaccine that you need, that you're going to need. So, and that's why people keep bellying up for these. You've got to stop. And my big thing is babies and children.
Of course, yeah.
They don't even get this thing. And when they get it, they basically have a 100% recovery. It's like the common cold to them. Mm-hmm. Why are we're gene editing babies and children without knowing what the long-term
effects
are going to be. And that could be 20, 30 years from now if they live that long.
Right. And so before I get to my next question, is there a possibility that, you know, there's a lot of people saying that, you know, because we just don't know what the ramifications of this will be, but we've already seen a lot of people not survive very long after it. Do you think we could be, you know, beginning to witness something you set up on stage that this is genocidal? Mm-hmm. And is there a possibility we will witness like a mass genocide
Well, yeah. It's not going to be all at once because okay. they're smart enough. It's a very, very diabolical plan. If you look at the work of a group called Team Enigma,
okay.
They're a bunch of analysts. They have a website called howbad.info. What they did was they looked at death and disability according to each lot number. And they also had some hackers. I don't think they went and got the hackers, but there were some professional hackers
okay.
that went into the Pfizer and Moderna systems and verified that those lot numbers were indeed from those companies. Now, within each lot number, you could have up to 1.5 million doses.
Okay.
Right? And so if there are 6 doses in each vial,
right.
basically, whatever the math is for that, that told them that the death and the disability is parsed out over time. It's almost, when you looked at the deployment of Moderna and you looked at the deployment of Pfizer and you overlapped over time, what mm-hmm. Team Enigma found was they're the same. So these companies are working together. So this is not a random thing. Could not have happened by chance. It's very frightening
stuff. It's very frightening. I have seen this with Moderna, that they have you know, different batches and they've proven that there's different effects in each batch. The adverse effects.
Yeah, that should be pulled off the market. That's absurd. If it was anything else, yeah.
What happened to you know, the scientific method of being replicable and
exactly.
Consistency and yeah? So you yeah. would think that that would qualify for definitely to be pulled off the
Absolutely.
Market.
Absolutely, we're way beyond that.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I actually wrote an article a year ago about the shedding, and of course I wrote it. You know, I tried to be very fair that this is, you know, being. Theoretical, I was connecting dots essentially for people based on evidence, but you know, at the time I didn't have a whole lot of conclusivity, but I was just pulling together mm-hmm. a lot of research that had been done where there had been shedding, and it looked
yeah.
like, you know, that this could
yeah.
be the justification for it. What are some things that, what are some of the effects of it? What are some of the ways people can protect themselves, and what does it do?
Well, first of all, we got the first inkling of this in a Pfizer document that was leaked in a FOIA request by Japan last
mm-hmm.
year,
yeah.
where they said, they didn't call it shedding, but they called it a transference
mm-hmm.
from the injected person. And in fact, during the trial, whatever that was, they were telling investigators, potential external investigators, hey, if you have a man, for example, who's taken the treatment, they called it, and then is in proximity to a mm-hmm. woman of childbearing age, it was a reportable adverse event. So it's set, and the only other clue they gave in that document was that the transfer occurred through inhalation or skin-to-skin contact, mm-hmm. right? So then fast forward, one of the things I presented today, as you know, in my talk, was a document I discovered on the FDA website under their guidance documents for industry. These are, you know, these guidance documents are really requirements of what we are, the way we're supposed to proceed in terms of a trial. And so what this document, there were two in particular that I talked about. One was a new one that was uploaded on gene editing. Of just this month, March of 2022. But the other one that was interesting that I talked about on stage was another version of human gene editing studies, and it was from June of 2015. And in there, they actually used the term shedding of sort of the byproduct of viruses and materials that are, so it gives us a clue as to what's in these shots, because remember,
yeah.
50% of what's in the vial,
yeah.
They are allowed, according to the contracts, Pfizer and Moderna are allowed to be undeclared. I mean, that's insane.
It's insane.
When you don't know what half the product is.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
What are some things people can do? Because I think a lot of people, more people really are waking
yeah.
up. But there are still a lot of people who are really in the dark and who don't believe at all. They still think that this is a traditional, immunity
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't give you immunity, yep. No,
right.
Yeah, but I agree, they do think that.
There's a lot of people who think that. So what can people who are starting to wake up and people who are aware and concerned about, you know, themselves, their family, because now it's not just the people who have opted out,
yeah.
Who, they don't have protection either because there is shedding. We don't know what the ramifications 100% will be of that alone.
Yeah.
So what can
they
do?
The best thing I could say is that, you know, look, the human body is an incredible design. It really does have a great capacity to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've said to people, keep your body as healthy as you can. Now you got to start really focusing on it. You know, fresh air, you know, clean, safe water if you can get it,
mm-hmm.
you know, organic foods, things like that. But there are some supplements that I highly recommend that are out there that a lot of other frontline doctors talk about. There's vitamin D3. There's vitamin C. NAC, it's the letters, NAC, which is like it's the precursor to glutathione, zinc, and something called quercetin. Those are the five minimal basic things that everybody should take. Because why? Because they're heavy antioxidants. They'll prime your body to defend itself in the best way it can. In the body's wisdom, who knows what it can do, right? So I think that's really important. I promote Dr. Zelenko because he's done great work and I trust him.
Yeah.
He doesn't take money from pharma. He's got this Z-Stack. If you use the promo code Ruby, you can get an extra, certain percentage off at checkout. So take advantage of it. I mean, I don't get that, but I think it's important for you to get a discount where you can. And I think he's done a good job. He doesn't have the NAC in there, so you might need to add that.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the five that I highly recommend. And,
anything
else? I mean, there are lots of people that are coming out. I miss alternative medicine. I think it should be primary.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
I think there's going to be a comeback, and I'm going to start digging into some of that.
I hope
as the months go by.
So I live in Tennessee, and there's only two states in the country, Tennessee and West Virginia, where naturopathic medicine is illegal.
It's
actually illegal to hold a naturopathic license.
That's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible. It's because Big Pharma owns them.
Sure, I see.
Right? So it's illegal.
Gotta put an end to that.
Right? But in Tennessee, there's a lot of alternative medicine. They go under the guise of holistic or
they just have to
functional.
Call it something
they have to call it something
else,
and they can't have a naturopathic license.
Oh,
but,
boy.
But I agree with you. I think there should definitely be a resurgence of that. And people need to spread the word. I think more people need to wake up, and
we let pharma get too big. I mean, really, when you think about it, we now know that the FDA, for example, their operating budget, 50% of it is provided by the pharmaceutical industry. That should never have been allowed to get to do that.
It's a conflict of interest.
Companies that rely on an agency, a federal agency, for the approval of their products to market them should not be contributing a dime to them for under any pretenses at all.
Yeah.
So that's got a lot of things have to be changed, and I hope we do.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any other kind of like advice for people, resources, what do you see? I before you get to that, I'm really curious. What do you see happening moving forward? You were talking a little bit about like the 22 election. They're going to try and really ramp this back up again. Do you think that they're going to just keep pushing with the jabs?
I do.
Or do you think you do?
I do. I think we're going to have more boosters come down the.
Okay.
I think we'll have fewer and fewer people lining up for them.
Mm-hmm.
My big concern now is that there's a segment of parents that think that their kids missed out between 6 months and 4 years, because when the 5 to 11, and then Pfizer had to go back to the drawing board, probably because they thought they'd be, I don't know why, but they were they didn't pursue it because they usually don't care what anybody thinks. But they went back for the 6-month-old to 4-year-olds. And we just have to tell people to think, parents, those parents, you're not, your child isn't going to get it. Don't give them this shot. You won't be able to live with yourself once you realize this is a gene-changing therapy. It's very dangerous. We never know on any given day what's in these shots. So you have no idea you're playing Russian roulette of the highest order with your child. Take a step back. Just wait. Look around you. The little kids his age and her age are not getting sick. Just chill out. Don't give this to kids.
Why do you think they're targeting the kids so hard?
Because they want to change it and they want to get the kids dependent. Look at when I was little, there were 7 vaccines to get me to the age of 18.
Right.
There are now 80 on the schedule from birth to 18. It's because it's a huge market. It's a repetitive sale.
Right.
And it's that simple. So we've got to stop. I mean, it's been a very powerful lobby. Like you said, I mean, they've blocked a lot of natural medicines.
Right.
A lot of what we need is already on the earth, thanks to God. I mean, it's the way the place is designed. But it's been squashed away because there's no money in that. Remember, they can't make money on it if it's naturally occurring.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I think is going to happen. But please save these babies. Just, I said to the audience, I ended up by saying, it really came off the top of my head. I wasn't even planning that. But I thought, what can all of you do? Just talk to one parent.
Yeah.
Just save one baby from getting this, and that would be great. That'd
be
great.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because they're not going to be able to reverse it, and they're going to be stuck with it for the rest of their lives, and they probably won't live a normal lifespan. And there's nothing you can do to reverse it. So it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
Just wait. Babies are not dropping dead of COVID.
Right, right.
I mean, look around
you.
That's
the other thing you talked about, you know, how there it's never been isolated. There's no... So what can... I'm very familiar with this, but what can we do to get people not to get caught up in that hysteria? Because I know people who, even people who know it, and
yes,
they say, well,
I do
but
too.
Did you get the test? Like,
I do too,
do you
yep.
have it? What? And it's...
Right. There is no validated test. The PCR test has long been debunked, and yet people still run back to it.
Yeah.
I want to clarify one other thing. The SARS-CoV-2 virus that has been the basis for the lockdowns and the people losing their businesses and everything else has never been isolated. It's never been identified. So we think it's a sham. But people say to me, but Dr. Jane, like, you know, I was sick last year. I had this flu. First of all, you do get sick. And secondly, you know, from time to time. And secondly, there is no way to diagnose it. We don't know. There was something that went through the population in 2020 and 2021 mm-hmm. at various times. That can happen. We do have those that history in life. But I also believe that they, you know, they did engineer some organism or something, mm-hmm. and that's what made people sick. Why do I say that? I believed it even more last year because in July they talked about Delta, then boom, August, September, people were getting sick. And I know because they call me and I put them in touch with frontline doctors to get them meds.
Right.
So I see the waves of it. And then then they talked about, oh, Omicron's coming. All of a sudden, November, December, people were getting sick, lots of calls. Now it's quiet and they're not talking about they're just talking about we're going to get boosters to keep you going. I mean, for those who accept it, it's very Darwinian, Courtney, to be honest with you. And those people with all this information out, if you continue to belly up for booster after booster after booster, if you make it and you live long enough, you're probably going to end up being very ill and dying from whatever you get because these things chip away at your immunity. So you're going to become more and more vulnerable. You're probably not going to make it if you keep taking them over and over and over again. So my point is, it's Darwinian in that the people that aren't not researching for themselves and are not thinking
right.
are going to be taken out.
Yeah.
Don't be one of those.
Don't be one of those. Yeah, exactly.
Be a survivor. Be here. Be a, you know.
Yeah. So what should we tell people who, you know, because people keep running back to this, that, you know, that's what it is. They need to take the test. And I believe you were talking about how powerful the human body, you know, healing mechanisms are. And I also believe like the mind and body are very, very much integrated. Mm-hmm. And fear is an immune suppressant. And I can't tell you how many people I've witnessed this, you know, who are awake and really do understand what's going on. And yet, as soon as they get sick, the first thing they tell me is they have COVID and, you know, they're going to die. They
yeah.
have to.
And you're like, wait a minute, yeah. I have to start from square one. Let's go back to the beginning. It's not a virus. The virus isn't that the SARS virus has never been isolated. You got sick. I do believe in the theory that they have engineered some things.
Yeah, no, there's
and
a bioweapon.
They've admitted it. So it seems so far mm-hmm. that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine mm-hmm. and other things, budesonide in a mm-hmm. nebulizer,
okay.
hydrogen peroxide, 3% food grade. I'm not making prescriptions, by the way. I want to make the disclaimer that everything I'm saying on your show is for medical information purposes. I'm not,
awesome.
There's no doctor-patient relationship.
Yes.
But with that said, yes, I would definitely find a safe doctor who's willing. You can get them filled in compounding pharmacies.
Okay.
Usually even in hostile states that don't allow it.
Really?
You can often have luck with compounding pharmacies. And I guess right now that law that suspends that doctors can practice across state lines is still in effect. So there's you find a doctor in another state where you can get the prescription filled and shipped mm-hmm. to you. That, you know, that's still...
That's great to know.
Okay, because we don't want to advocate anything that, you know, would get anybody in trouble.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I would do that. I would have a stash of those things on hand.
Okay.
Just in case. Now, who knows? They may tweak something else next year, and we'll find that there's another medication that we already have that they
right.
don't want us to know.
A repurposed drug.
We have to be very, very careful, and we have to start thinking differently. Repurpose your skills, create new parallel communities, use your skills in other ways. If you're a nurse and you were, you know, smart enough and compassionate enough to leave the hospitals, go and create a new nursing service or, you know, use your skills in some other way.
Right.
And we got to get past this. We have to get out of these corporate strangleholds.
For sure. Well, I want to respect your time. Thank you
so
much.
Courtney.
If you have anything else you want to add, and definitely tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me on the Stu Peters Network, which is also called Roar Nation on Red Voice Media. I have the Dr. Jane Ruby Show 3 days a week, and then I'm also on Stu's show as his permanent medical contributor for now. I say for now, as long as he'll have me, but we work so well together and have made lots of fun. And you can find me on Telegram. That's really where I break most of my news if it's not on the show, or I follow up. And that's t.me/drjaneruby. And I do have a public email, which I will use to like redirect you if I can help you with resources. And that's drjaneruby@protonmail.com.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me, Courtney.
Thank you.